Good afternoon. It's my pleasure to open today's first Revenue Committee meeting of the 2012 session. Somewhat historic. Welcome, colleagues. We have some organizational things to go through with Paul, and I have asked him. My co-chair, by the way, is ill. Our sympathies to him. He'll be back. When I told his staff that we're going to pass five or six bills today, and he may believe us unless he's watching. And I thought it might get him out of bed in a hurry if I told him it. In the meantime, I've asked Paul to introduce the staff today that we're going to be working with and remind us all and the public of who does the great work for this committee. And then we have some organizational things, and then we have one little member bill that we're going to talk about. So, Paul?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. Our staff has been working diligently in the interim, and now they're glad to see you back. Just to remind you who we have in LRO, Corinne Gavette is our office manager. And Corinne, of course, is the person to see about anything. She keeps us all on track. Christine Broniak on property taxes. Dave Beck does school finance, health provider taxes, unemployment taxes. Chris Allenack does income taxes. And Mazen Malik does all of the sin taxes.
And a few other things.
As well as participate in some of them.
He also has excellent grammar.
And then we're lucky to have Joan Green as our committee assistant. Joan's history with LRO goes way back into the last century, in the 90s, and she's gone a wayward path, but we brought her back in tow with LRO, so we're glad she's available.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. And we need to get to our committee rules.
Yes.
They have been distributed to you on your desk. I think they will be quite familiar.
Madam Chair, we put them in your packet, the committee rules. A couple things just to remind you of in terms of some process things we get asked as we go through. Under two, as far as a quorum is concerned, for a public hearing, not for work session, but for a public hearing, a quorum is one member. So that will give flexibility as we get in if we have some long hearings. We do have a 48-hour notice requirement, so we'll be posting bills with for public hearing work session 48-hour notice until we get word from the speaker that we can go to one-hour notice, which, of course, will be soon in this session. We have met with the chairs on Monday, and we have the schedule outlined. We'll be posting that later today for on into next week. And then the last thing I thought I would add is that question always comes up, number 18 on page 3, is that no measure shall be reported out of committee unless the written legislative council amendments and the revenue impact statement and the fiscal impact statements are reviewed by the committee. So that, of course, we play this role with the other committees because we have to get them their impact statements. So, but that rule is still in force. What we've done is for bills that are coming to you, and I'll show you shortly, we've got 9 bills that have a subsequent to revenue. We do what's called a revenue light. So we give those committees a kind of a statement that it is an impact and what we know we put in there, and then do the final numbers when it gets to you. So a lot of times we're asked about that.
Any questions from the committee?
Representative Bailey.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. I move adoption of the rules.
Representative Bailey moves adoption of the House Committee on Revenue Rules. Is there any objection? So ordered. They are adopted. Anything else in the way of organizational?
Madam Chair, I have a couple of goodies in the packet for you. One is the advisory list of House revenue bills. We haven't updated it for the actual official list, but this is basically what we have, and we'll do that. So these are the bills that we have in committee, and at the back of this list, we have the subsequent referrals to House revenue. So you can see what potentially can be coming into the committee. And, of course, given our timeline, That subsequent referral would mean you'd have to take those up pretty quickly to get them through. These subsequent referrals are one of the main reasons why the revenue committee is not subject to the deadlines that the other committees are. But nonetheless, we're under strict timelines. And then the last thing I thought I would point out is that always our best seller, we have an updated version of it, and that's the 2012 Oregon Public Finance Basic Facts. So we've added all the numbers through 11-12 fiscal year. The census came out with a new set of numbers for all the states in October, and I've built those in. So this is your latest information.
Committee members, I had to ask for two more printed copies. I keep giving this away. Somebody asked me, and this is my bestseller. It's also mm-hmm. available online, but I like to thumb through it. Mm-hmm. And so thank you, Paul. Thank you for the update, and thank you for... And committee members, I think you can see we are going to be moving very, very rapidly. We have some issues that we will be addressing right away, and I don't think there's anything on here that's new. These are all things that we have been dealing with over, you know, in the past session. And I just ask your indulgence. Afternoon meetings are sometimes a little hard, but we'll try and get here, start on time, and mm-hmm. and do our business as quickly and efficiently as we can, and appreciate you. Okay. With that, we have one really important bill to hear today. Member priority bills, there is some advantages to seniority. So I'm going to open a public hearing on House Bill 4047, and I'm going to come and tell you about it from the front and hand the gavel to my good colleague here.
Madam Co-Chair.
For the record, Vicki Berger, State Representative, District 20. I've asked my friend to come up. She will identify herself in a moment. This is my priority bill. We all have two. And this one came out of my work as a member of the Oregon Capital Foundation, something that is near and dear to my heart. And Jenny can tell you the story of how the Capital Foundation came into this particular object and why we need a statutory change to realize its potential. I hope you understand that we understand that there are a lot of nonprofits in this state who don't understand that they cannot auction off spirits. But the Capital Foundation has to be right always with these kinds of statutory things. And so it is important for us to be square with the statutes, and we're very sensitive to it. And so I was willing to try and get this through the February session on behalf of the Capital Foundation. And that's why I made it a priority bill, and that's why I saw a little slot this afternoon to have you hear it. And I hope you will listen to Jenny's story and understand why I'm trying to get it through this session. So with that as introduction,
thank you.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair. Oh, sorry.
I'll hold it open.
The reason we're here is this.
Drink.
Good afternoon, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Ginny Lang, and I'm here as a board member of and in behalf of the Oregon State Capital Foundation. And I appreciate the opportunity that Representative Berger has given us to have this conversation. This truly is why we're here. Last year, Buffalo Trace, which is one of the oldest distilleries in the United States, located on the edge of Louisville, Kentucky, put out a notice to nonprofits all over the country that asked them to apply to receive a very special bottle of bourbon. This bottle of bourbon was the last barrel, part of the last barrel that was produced by Buffalo Trace in the 20th century. When that barrel rolled off the line at the end of the millennium, the company decided that they would like to make good use of these 174 bottles that came from that last barrel. So they decided that they would put out an opportunity to nonprofits to auction or raffle off one of these 174 bottles for the benefit of their nonprofit organization. At that time, I asked the State Capital Foundation whether there would be any interest in applying for one of these bottles that we could use for the benefit of the foundation, and the answer was yes. I applied after my husband was no longer the chairman of the Oregon Liquor Control Commission to Buffalo Trace, and our application was accepted. So we have bottling number 132 of the 174. Lo and behold, after all of that took place, we discovered that it is not lawful in the state of Oregon to raffle or auction distilled spirits. It's okay for beer and wine, but not distilled spirits. So in working with the staff at the Oregon Liquor Control Commission and representatives of the industry, we came forward with this bill, and the purpose of it is to correct that situation so that the State Capital Foundation and other nonprofits would have the opportunity to use obviously lawfully procured bottles of distilled spirits in fundraising activities on a once-a-year basis. That's what the bill does. We would love to have your vote to approve this so that the Capital Foundation can make a lot of money, and I would be coming around to sell raffle tickets or invite you to the auction and hope that you would participate. Thank you. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you both, and I think it's probably wise that we didn't have this bill during our Betsy discussions, because you wouldn't have had anything left to raffle after we were done with that.
Well, yes. Yes.
Representative Brewer.
Thank you. Just one clarifying question. It says about wine or malt beverages and cider and distilled liquor at an auction or through a raffle. So when it says at an auction, it's not serving to drink at the auction. It's merely serving or merely selling it as an auction item.
Correct. In a Mr. Co-Chair, Representative Eric, that's correct, that it would be part of a basket or an individual item that would be as an auction item, not to be served.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the committee?
If I could interject, one of the oft asked questions is whether OLCC has objections to this particular bill, and it is my understanding they do not. And if they do, they are welcome at this time to come forward and express them.
Madam Co-Chair, we are seeing head shakes, I believe, which is in response to whether or not they would like to come forward and express objections, not to whether
Their nods in terms of they're okay with the bill.
Is that what I'm seeing from the back of the room.
Okay, then I think that answers that question.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thank you, committee members.
Thank you.
Thanks for bringing it.
Okay. All right. And with that, we will close the public hearing on House Bill 4047 and wait for our good co-chair to return.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Coco. Coco Vice?
Yeah, I like Coco Vice better.
Thank you. Paul, we close this. Do we have anything else before this committee today? All right. Committee members, we are adjourned, but this... What?
Friday at 1.
Till Friday at 1, and you can thank me for this little bit of time. It's the only time you're going to get.
Yes. Have a good